ask you, I guess, kind of a blunt question. What attracted you to this church? You know, people choose a church for a variety of reasons. Some are noble and some are less than noble. Most of you know that back in the day, as people say, I attended White's Ferry Road School of Biblical Studies, preacher school that was associated with White's Ferry Road Church of Christ in West Monroe, Louisiana. And I'd like to tell you that I first started attending that congregation because it had good, solid biblical teaching. But that would be less than truthful. Not that its teaching was not, but that was not my real reason. In fact, I was pretty convinced that the church was so liberal that I wasn't sure that anybody who attended there was going to go to heaven. And my reason for that was because that congregation had about 500 members. And having come from a background where my dad started congregations in communities where there was no church, a church of 100 was a big church for me. And I just knew that you couldn't get that big if you were really teaching the truth. I actually went there because I had met a beautiful young lady who twanged my heartstrings. She had recently graduated from Louisiana Tech and was teaching school in Monroe and living with her brother, who was a deacon at White's Ferry Road. And to be just blunt about it, I wanted to see if I could get a date with her. That's why I went. That's not why I stayed and attended school there. I stayed because I'd heard biblical truth taught in a way that changed my life. And I don't know why you came here, but I hope that you're staying because you're hearing the Bible taught in a way that's changing your life. If you feel like this is a friendly church, that's good. So do I. If you have found a group of friends that meet your social needs, that's good. If you like the fellowship, that's good. If you like the singing, that's great. If your kids like the youth group, that's good. Those are reasons to come, but to be real honest with you, they're not good enough reasons to stay. But those things don't define us as a congregation. We plan and work for those things to be true because we believe that those things make the gospel attractive. But they're not our reason for existing, and they're not who we are. What defines us is that we believe that the Bible is totally inspired. We believe that in the midst of an immoral, decaying world of darkness, that our only hope is to put our faith in God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. We believe that the truth of God's Word, all of it, is the only thing that can set us free from sin and its consequences. We believe that we don't have the right to pick and choose which parts of the Bible that we believe and teach and practice. We believe that we do not have the right to judge the truthfulness of God's Word in light of the wisdom of our age, but that we do rather judge our age and each individual in light of God's Word. And so we stand together as a spiritual family on the foundation of the Bible. We read it, we study it, we teach it, we preach it, we strive to practice it, we share it, and we try to do all of those things in an attitude of humility and love. That's what defines us. That's what Woodland Oaks is about. And I'm sure that you recognize that what you've witnessed here this morning is a rare thing. It takes leadership with courage. It takes a leadership with love for and a deep sense of responsibility to the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made them overseers, to spend hundreds of hours in prayer and study and preparation of this statement that you heard this morning. Now, these elders didn't know that I was going to say this morning. But I want to say it, and I want to say it hopefully on behalf of you. I can personally attest to the fact that they have agonized for almost 2 years over every single statement that you heard read this morning. And let me help you appreciate what these men have done. I don't have to tell you that this topic of marriage, divorce, and remarriage is certainly one of the most volatile and hotly debated topics in the religious world. And that's not new. It's been that way for a long time. Most elderships have adopted a defeatist attitude about it. And consequently, it's rarely addressed publicly anymore. Most of us have some pretty strong beliefs about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And a few of us would be able to articulate a scriptural defense to support our position, whether legitimately or otherwise. But if we did, it would be unlikely that any two of us would say it in exactly the same way. These men have worked on this topic until they could all five reach consensus. That is no small thing. They have my deepest respect, and they have my appreciation for their desire and their willingness and their determination to not quit until they had studied and prayed and talked and written and rewritten this statement on this really difficult topic that's so vital to every single one of us. And let me say, they may not have said it exactly like you would have said it. But then the truth is, they may not have said it exactly like any one of them would have said it. And I think about when I preach on this topic, and I have since I've been here on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, then basically I have to study and write and present a lesson that I can agree with. And I don't have to have four other people who analyze every word and see if they can sign off on exactly how that's said. And so I have a deep respect and appreciation for what they've done, and I, for one, want to publicly express my appreciation to each one of these men for their love for the Lord, their love for His Word, and the love for His people. And the congregation said, amen. Thank you. Like I said, I don't know why you're here, but I'm glad you are. And even more importantly than that, God is glad you're here. And His Son, Jesus Christ, is glad you're here. He died so that you could be here. Think about that. He died so that you can enjoy the many blessings of being in His family. And if you don't know how to be in God's family, it's really simple. You go back to the very first time the gospel message was preached in Acts chapter 2, and these people were convicted that they were on the outs with God, that they, as far as standing before God and being judged, they were going to be in a world of hurt when that happened. And so they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And the answer was, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this message is unto you and all them that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And He's still calling. He's calling you today to be a part of His family while we stand and sing. Won't you?